Let us talk to, as we do each and every Monday, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, Matt Cassel. Matt, it's Craig and Larry, and I know it's tough to accept congratulations on a day that you're not looking at a playoff scenario, but tremendous season for you and the Patriots, despite the shutout as far as the tournament's concerned.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. It's definitely bittersweet at this point with us finishing the season on a high note, winning those last four, and then obviously not getting in the playoffs is very disappointing.
Tell me, after the game, and you guys did everything you could do. You were terrific despite only putting the ball up in the air eight times. You completed six of them. You executed three fourth down opportunities for first downs. Had the great season. But what did you do after the game was over? Were you keeping close tabs on the Jets-Miami game, just getting intermittent reports? How did that work out?
Yeah, we just we took care of our business like we wanted to, and then as Coach was saying in the locker room after the game, we did all that we could, and now we just got to see what happens. And so throughout the course of taking the plane ride home, we would keep tabs on both the Jets and Ravens and have updates, and you heard the hoots and hollers every time the score would come up, and then, you know, unfortunately by the end of the plane ride, we knew it was over.
Was that a frustrating experience not to be able to actually watch it? Is it worse and more nerve-wracking, I guess, only getting reports every now and again instead of just sitting there and seeing how the whole thing unfolds?
You know, I think it's just tough in general determining what your future is going to be, whether or not you make it to playoffs, based on what another team does. You know, if we would have gone out there and with this win, we would have guaranteed ourselves a playoff spot, and that's one thing. But based on the fact that we had to have somebody else do it for us to help us get into the playoffs, that's the difficult part. And so sitting there watching the streamlines on television, yeah, that was nerve-wracking. And also, I think if I was watching the game, it would be the same way.
Matt, those are some of the worst weather conditions I've ever seen as a football fan over many years. But you and Josh McDaniels, I assume you usually meet like the night before the game, and you were saying that you were he was changing some things because of the weather?
There's no doubt. We always take into consideration the weather, whether it was last week in the snow game and we had to determine whether or not we could throw the ball very well or whether it was going to be a run game or a screen game. And then we went out there and we saw that the weather conditions were going to be 35-mile-per-hour winds with probably gusts up to 50 or whatever it was. And when we went out for pregame warm-up, we knew that it was going to be difficult conditions, especially to throw the ball. So the night before, we had talked about what we were going to do if the weather conditions were what they were, and adjusted the game plan accordingly and ran the ball a little bit more and took more of our shots and our play-action passes when we had the wind with us, again with our back, so I could throw the ball a little bit more accurately.
Curiously enough, though, in that fourth quarter, I should say the third quarter, when you had the wind against you, you did throw the ball a couple of times. Had the conditions subsided a little bit in the second half that it wasn't as difficult to put the ball up in the air?
Not really. I mean, there was a heavy crosswind, and it just was a matter of whether or not the gusts were shooting. I think by the fourth quarter, it started to slow down a little bit, but
yeah,
still the gust, every time the gust came through, I mean, it was ridiculous.
But you, the pass I think everybody remembers was the one to
Welker,
and that was against the wind in the third quarter. Didn't look like he had too much problem throwing the ball in that situation.
I got lucky. I closed my eyes and threw the ball, and luckily it went right to him. So,
actually, you know, I should say the most memorable play, Matt, we're talking about you throwing the ball and running for first downs on fourth, but obviously you're going to come away with the punt of the year, 57 yards, about 56 of it was on the ground rolling to the end zone. Were you surprised when that call came from the sideline?
I was, because there's a heavy wind going, and in order to usually get that play off, you have to get, as a quarterback, you want to get about 7 yards deep for the shotgun snap, because you obviously want to get away from the line of scrimmage a little bit so you can kick it. But Dan Copen, when we're breaking the huddle, goes, "Castle, you got to move up. You got to move up. I can't snap it that far." So,
had you ever?
So if you see me, I'm literally like 5 yards away from him. I just grab the ball and try to kick it as quickly as I possibly can, because I almost got hit. I almost kicked the nose guard in the head with the football.
I don't think.
And then,
I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, go ahead.
Now finish up. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, then I kicked the ball and the wind grabbed it and it rolled down forever.
By the way, I don't think the live telecast, I think they missed the kick. They got it later, but I think that was such a shock even to the NBC, CBS cameras, I should say. I don't think that was actually on the air live. Maybe I had my head down at that moment, but the next thing I know, there's the ball rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling toward the goal line. Then only on instant replay did we see the brilliance of that call. Had you been practicing that at all during the week? Were you prepared for this eventuality?
We actually just put it in the night before the game because we knew that the weather conditions were going to be bad. So I guess the thinking in that is that on third down, we can punt the ball with the wind and try to get the situation like we had right there where the ball was able to roll down and they were not expecting it, rather than trying to punt on fourth down and have the heavy rush come on the punt team and also have our kicker and our snapper, the snapper snapping that ball 15 yards back into the wind versus me getting the ball at 5 yards and just trying to get the punt off there.
Of course, it didn't hurt that you were a punter in high school, correct?
Right. I haven't done much punting since high school, but nonetheless, you know, I obviously try to work on my punting as much as possible in the off season.
You know, what really can't you do? You can punt, you can run, you can throw. You're a latter-day Sammy boy. Now you're a free agent. I mean, the offers must be coming in this morning.
We haven't really got any calls yet. You guys are the first people I've talked to this morning, which I'm pretty happy about.
Listen, Matt, you used the word yesterday quite a few times, referring to the team as resilient. I think you can use that word for yourself. First of all, our condolences again to you for the passing of your dad. And I tell you, the way you handled everything that you had to deal with this year, what did you learn about yourself, not only as a player, but as a person?
You know, I think it's just keep pushing forward. And one of my favorite quotes is from Junior Seau, and it's expect nothing, earn everything. And I go about my day like that every time I get the opportunity. I mean, I expect nothing from anybody, and I go out there and try to earn it, whether it be in my preparation or whether it be in how I work in the weight room. And that's just what it's about. You've got to take advantage of your opportunities when you get them. And I know that it hasn't been the easiest road, and I know that at times people didn't ever foresee me being the quarterback. But I always believed in myself, and I always stayed diligent to what I was doing and went out there and gave 110%. And good things happen to those that try to go out and do the right thing and work hard.
I have to ask you this, though, as a fan of the Patriots and in you when they drafted you. Like, you've been with the team for 4 years now. You played the scout quarterback running around back there. During the past 3 years, like, did you display the type of ability that you have now? Because I can't understand why at no time anybody ever came to you and said, listen, maybe we need to tie you up for a couple of more years. Are you surprised that you're a free agent?
You know, it's one of those situations where you just go about and you do your things, and I'm a free agent now. And when it first happens and you get drafted, I just kind of felt lucky to get drafted in the very beginning. You know, when it comes down to me only throwing the ball 32 times in all of college and then coming out and getting drafted by the Patriots in the 7th round and fighting for a spot with 5 other guys. There was Rohan Davey, Doug Flutie, Chris Redman, and Tommy here. So obviously I was fighting for a spot just that first year, and then to make the team, I was happy. And then you just go about your business trying to get better each and every year, and watching a guy like Tom Brady and his professionalism and how he goes about his day and trying to mimic what he does and emulate that day in and day out.
But in your mind, though, Matt, but in the back of your mind, though, didn't you at any time start thinking, geez, I wonder if they're going to, you know, I'm the backup. I wonder if they're going to come to me and try and tie things up for a couple of more years.
I mean, sometimes you think about that, but honestly, historically, you see most of the backups that come here don't come here and renegotiate. They don't renegotiate with many of them, and they usually move on.
Well, obviously the Patriots did you a favor in the long run by not asking you to stick around for a while at backup pay. You're in an enviable position in spite of the fact, I know that, as you said, it's bittersweet. You and the Patriots are not going to the playoffs. You're not playing at home or on the road. But you right now are contemplating a very intriguing future. And Patriot fans are kind of trying to conjure up a scenario, Matt, where you stay here, maybe as a franchised player. If you don't stay here, obviously there's going to be a lucrative payday somewhere else. I know you can't answer this question, but is there any way that you can stay a New England Patriot on Monday morning following that win yesterday in Buffalo?
Well, honestly, I'll have to see. We're so fresh right after the season that I have no clue what's going to go on, and I'm sure that there's plenty of opportunity that I stay here as a New England Patriot, and I've said this before that I love the New England Patriots. I love the organization. Coach Belichick has given me my opportunity to be an NFL quarterback, and I'll be indebted for him, to him forever. So, I mean, we'll see what happens in the long run, but, I mean, there's a great possibility I could be back here.
Don't just think, Matt. You'll have all your games. You'll be playing on Thanksgiving Day for the Detroit Lions.
There you go.
That would be a there you go. Hey, you know, Thanksgiving Day.
Hey, but I have to ask. I have to ask you this. Coach Belichick has said Randy Moss is one of the smartest players he has ever coached. Obviously, he hasn't had the kind of year he probably would like to have had, but he did the job he needed to do. There was no finger pointing. I'm curious, did he help you at all as a quarterback to learn the game, some of the nuances?
He did in many different ways. I mean, he's a very smart player, and he's a guy that's been around the league for a long time. And a guy that has seen a lot of different DBs, and he'll always come up with different ideas and how he wants to run different routes. And it's really interesting for me to hear his perspective on how he wants me to throw a certain ball to him or how he wants to try to get open, because it just gives you another perspective of a guy that's been doing it for so long, has been had such great success. So to me, he's been very helpful throughout the year.
Have you been in touch with Tom Brady during the season in terms of could he call you and just help you with certain things he might see?
If I had any questions or anything like that, Tom was always there for me throughout the course of the season. But Tom also was my main supporter. I mean, the first text message I got after every single game, whether win or loss, was him encouraging me and saying, great job, and we've got to move forward after a loss. And he's just a great friend and a dear friend and a guy that I look up to and a guy that's mentored me. So he's been such a help throughout this entire process.
If he's that good of a friend, did he give you any information about his ACL and his MCL? Because there are a lot of reports, you probably are aware of them, Matt, that say that Tom is having some difficulty in rehab. The infection has not gone away and that he may not be ready for the beginning of 2009. Has he given you any information on that in your text messaging back and forth?
No, every time I see him, he looks great, and he's doing well, and he's just moving along and moving forward in his rehab, and he looks like he's doing a great job. So in terms of all the other stuff and what's out there, I haven't heard anything like that.
What can you attribute to Josh McDaniel and Belichick? I mean, we've watched a lot of games over the past couple of weeks, not just yours, other games, and, like, you see the quarterbacks doing the same things, making the same mistakes. Every week you seem to progress, and you're so decisive with your decisions now. How much input did they have in helping you to understand the game the way you do now?
Tremendous amount of input. I mean, I work with Josh McDaniels each and every day, and he's just amazing, and he's the quarterback's best friend, I'll tell you that right now. Because he just puts you in great situations. He understands offense, and he understands defenses. And so when he game plans and puts together a game plan, he puts you in the best opportunity to be successful against what those defenses are doing. And then in terms of Coach Belichick, he does such a great job of, you know, situational football, reminding the quarterback, take care of the ball. We watch film every week, once a week with him, just going over situational football, whether it be third down or fourth down, taking care of the ball, different scenarios that could come up. So we're well-tutored when it comes to playing the quarterback position, especially when you work with guys like that each and every day.
Is there one game that, you know, you had some great games throughout the year, 3,600 yards, 21 touchdowns during the season. Is there one game or one moment that stands out for you?
You know, one moment that really stood out to me, and I was thinking about this the other day, was when Tom actually went down, I ran out onto the field for the first time to take my first snaps of the season. And I was at Gillette Stadium, and I got a standing ovation from the crowd, and that's something that I'll always remember. For the, I mean, just for them to, you know, it was obviously a tough preseason, and people were saying different things, and for me to come out onto the field that first series and to have that stadium all come up on their feet and cheer like they did, it was incredible and gave me goosebumps just running out on that field.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, the old cliche is that the backup quarterback's the most popular player on the team. And probably up until that moment might have been the reverse in New England. You have, you know, the great quarterback, one of the all-time best signal callers in the history of the game. And it could have easily been a different reaction. So, obviously, that propelled you to a season. I don't think anybody in those stands would ever imagine what was going to happen for you.
Yeah, you know, and it's hard to say that you can't imagine something like that because you just never know until you get out there and do it. And so I'm just feel blessed and lucky to have had that opportunity to get out and show that I do have the ability to play in this league. And I had some great teammates, and they did a great job all year of stepping up for me and giving me all their support that I needed.
Going back to Mosh for a minute, though, there must have been a period of time where you had to just trust him to put the ball in some of the places you had to put it that would be impossible for a normal receiver to get it. I'm going back to that Jets game.
Well, that was an unbelievable
when you
pass.
Throw the ball just about out of bounds and Mosh stretches with Ty Law all over him, catches it. You must have reached a point of trust with him where you just knew you could throw it anywhere and he would get it.
Yeah, you know, with all those guys, you got to start building chemistry, and you start understanding, obviously, their strengths and weaknesses, and especially with a guy like Randy, who's so talented. But as a young quarterback and a guy, you're taught all the time you read coverages, and versus split safety coverage. If the guy's getting doubled, then you're going to go elsewhere with the football, and that's just how you go because that's the safest way to play it, and that's how they teach you. And then when you get in there with a guy like Randy Moss, though, things start to change as you start to play with him because you start to understand that when he's double covered, he's not really double covered because he's going to probably run by the first guy and he's going to be up on a safety, and you just have to know that he's going to have as good a chance as anybody to make a play on the ball.
Aside from protecting the ball, what's the most important thing you learned this year playing quarterback?
That's a tough question. I mean, obviously, protecting the ball. Anytime you can protect the ball during the course of a game or a season, you're going to give your team an opportunity to win. And I learned a lot about situational football. And when I say situational football, you start to really understand how important staying on the field is in third down, or throwing the ball away when need be, or red area when you get opportunities in the red area, scoring touchdowns instead of kicking field goals. So, and you start to learn how to prepare for that each and every week of how important those different aspects are. Even 2-minute drill, that when those come up, those are the most important parts of the game.
Matt, you saw a whole bunch of playoff teams this year. Which team do you think in the AFC has the best shot at going to the Super Bowl this year?
There's a lot of good teams in the AFC. I mean, obviously, Indianapolis is playing great football right now. I think that they've got a very good team, and they've got an explosive offense. The best defense we played against was definitely the Steelers. They're a tenacious defense. They come, they're physical, and they play hard each and every snap. So that's a darn good team, and they're gonna be tough. And you know, when I watched San Diego game last night, and San Diego's playing very good football too. So we'll see what happens. But I gotta go with the AFC East. I gotta go with Miami. Let's go Miami.
Even though they dealt you the blow that took you out of the playoffs, you're gonna root for the Finns anyway, huh?
You know, they've had a great season, and they came back from a tough year last year, and I was happy to see the fact that they were able to come back and put together a great year. Obviously, would we love to be in the playoffs? Yes, but now that we're not, you know, it's an AFC East team, so.
Well, I'll tell you what, you did everything you could possibly do, 3,600 yards, a couple of 400 games, another one over 300. You surprised us all, Matt, and good luck in the offseason. It's going to be, as I said at the top, a very intriguing one for number 16.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Matt, thanks for your time.